I want to talk to you today about your identity in Christ, and I want to do that particularly for one reason. I know who you are. I think you are all people who are involved counseling other people. Thank you for laying down your life as you do. But I want to ask you just a question now about how much you talk about this with your counselees. How many times have you sat down with a counselee who perhaps came in with 25 different things going on in his or her life, and did you just sort of get about trying to figure out how to fix them or tell them the imperatives, what they need to do? And that's an important thing to do. It is important to talk about imperatives. I am not anti-imperatives. But I wonder how much time you have ever spent, or any of us have spent, with our spouses, with our children, with our counselees, talking about our identity in Christ, who we are because of what Christ has already done. And so I have one song, and those of you who've heard me before, you know what my song is. I have one song, and the song is the gospel. So again, when you sit down with your counselee, have you ever spent time talking about who they are in Christ, or asking them what words would you use to describe yourself? And I know on our PDI form, personal data, thank you, I'm menopausal, so I have this kind of ongoing TBI, just getting worse and worse every year. I don't know who I am, where I am, nothing. Every menopausal woman knows what I'm talking about. The men are all saying, please don't talk about that. So, you know, how would your counselee describe himself or herself? A lot of times when they come in, they'll say they're depressed, they're anxious, they're angry, they're fearful, they're worried, they're confused. You know, they use... But do they see who they are in Christ? And is who they are in Christ, assuming, of course, that they're believers, is who they are in Christ the primary identity that informs how they live their life every day? I mean, how often do you all think about this sort of stuff? So what I'm going to do, the Lord being my helper, is I'm going to go through what I would call indicatives. You know what I mean? The declarations in the Bible, some of them, in comparison to how many there are, a very few of them, some of the declarations in Scripture about who we are in Christ. And then I want to spend maybe the last 10 minutes or so, maybe 15 minutes, just talking about, all right, so in light of all those declarations, in light of who we are in Christ, then what are the imperatives? What are the obligations? You understand those two categories in Scripture. We have declarations, or what's called indicatives, those statements about who we are, what our identity is, what Christ has already done. Right? What Christ has already done for us, those are the indicatives, the declarations. And then we also have in Scripture the imperatives, the commands that would come to us. So in light of, and you see this perfectly in the book of Ephesians, you have the first three chapters are primarily all declarations, right? Or in the book of Romans, 1 through 8, pretty much, is just declarations. You've got a couple of little commands there in chapter 6. But besides that, 1 through 8 is nothing but declarations. And then you've got the rest of the book of Romans, or the rest of the book of Ephesians, talking about what you should do. All right? So I'm going to spend more of my time talking about your identity, what Christ has already done, because I'm going to assume that you're going to get a lot of what the obligations. You already know them all, pretty much. I mean, you're not in track four here unless you've heard the obligations. So I'm going to remind you of them, but my primary goal today is to talk to you about your identity in Christ, okay? We all sort of, all right, let's try to land this plane now, shall we? All right, so, you know, ask your counselee, what words would you use to describe yourself? I talked to a woman one time. She's a pastor's wife. I said, talk to me about yourself. Describe yourself to me. What sort of person are you? And we were an hour into this conversation, and she had never really mentioned what Christ had done for her. Now, in one sense, that's a little contrived because she knows I'm counseling her, so she's not going to talk in those terms. But I wonder, how often would you talk in the terms of what Christ has already done for you? And so I would encourage you to spend a whole session or several sessions with a counselee just talking about who you already are in Christ, what God has already done. And here's the reality. What I'm going to say to you now and what you're going to say to your counselee takes faith to believe. See, because the reality is, when I look at my life and the weakness of my faith and walk, all right, you all know me, and I'm just going to be honest. I'm not Mrs. I Got My Act Together. If I tried to say that, my husband would stand up and scream liar. So I'm not going to do that. When you look at my life, Steve Brown has a very interesting sort of thing that he talks about. When you see a turtle on a fence post, you know that the turtle didn't get there by himself. Right? So I'm a turtle on a fence post. That's who I am. And I don't have my act all together. And it takes faith for me to believe that the things that God has said about me are true. Doesn't it take faith for you to believe it? I mean, it takes faith to believe that God loves me and has this perspective on me when I see the weakness of my own faith, my own sin, the way I vacillate back and forth. It takes faith for me to believe that these things are true. So first of all, I'm just going to sort of blast these things. And what I hope, kind of the picture I want you to get is, you know, did you ever, when you were little, did you ever, like, lob water balloons at people? I live in Southern California, and I can remember one day in particular, I was, like, in junior high or so, senior high probably. And I was at a friend's house who lived right near the beach in La Jolla, and we were up on her roof firing water balloons at people when they walked by. It was really fun. So you can tell I've really matured since then, because what I want to do now is lob water balloons, gospel water balloons at you, and hope you get a little wet. Okay? So first of all, I want you to understand that you are uniquely crafted and therefore known by Him. There is not a part of you, not a part of you with that He is not intimately acquainted with. Isn't that, well, that's good news and bad news, right? But it's good news because not only is He intimately acquainted with you, having created you to be the kind of person that you are, to have the struggles that you do, but He also not only is intimately acquainted with you, but He loves you. And that's the really good news, isn't it? So, you know, your big nose, your personality. Sometimes I'm kind of a, well, you can tell what sort of person I am. You know, I sort of bounce off walls. And sometimes I've looked at other women and I've thought, why couldn't I sort of be quiet and nice like her? Well, part of it's, of course, sin. But then part of it is just my personality. That's not me. That's not me. That's not who God created me to be. So to be thankful for the things that God has created us to be, even your counselee in the way that he or she might be struggling, you have certain weaknesses. You have certain gifts. Frequently, your area of greatest gifting is also your area of greatest weakness. And just to talk to your counselee about that. So that's both terrifying and comforting. Does your counselee understand, do you understand that you are particularly